have searched the earth, the air, even the sun and the stars in their never-ending quest for knowledge. And now in this NBC educational feature, the United States Department of the Interior, Office of Education, brings you the wonders of that unique establishment, the Smithsonian Institution, dedicated to the increase and diffusion of knowledge. Masters behind the melon masterpieces.
A thing of beauty is a joy forever. Its loveliness increases. And today the Smithsonian Institution, believing in the increase and diffusion of beauty as well as of knowledge, invites you to listen to the story of the collection which the late Andrew W. Mellon gave to the Smithsonian Institution for the American people in order to establish a National Gallery of Art in Washington as a bureau of the Smithsonian. Now here's a special announcement for all of our listeners. If you would like to receive absolutely free a booklet describing future World Is Yours programs and suggested supplementary reading, simply write to The World Is Yours, Washington, D.C. And now the story of the Andrew W. Mellon masterpieces.
There is such a wide choice. Raphael, Rembrandt, Titian, Rubens, Goya, Botticelli, Holbein, Gainsborough, the Americans such as Gilbert Stuart, a hall of fame of artists.
Ah, but this is my favorite. My favorite painting.
The Alba Madonna.
Such calmness, such depth of feeling. That lovely Madonna by Raphael. It makes me, as you say, a lump in my throat. Genius is not the word to apply to such a man as Raphael. He has poured forth on this canvas all the calmness and love of humanity which he felt in his heart.
This picture, all these pictures, will be on view in the new National Gallery as soon as it's completed. Have you seen the gallery site near the Capitol?
Well, I showed him the fence around the excavation.
A beautiful gray fence. I am filled with regret. I cannot stay in your country until the gallery is finished. But this is compensation. To have a special opportunity to see a few of these great works of art. A preview.
A preview that brings the past into the present. Looking at this Madonna, I'm sure that I know a great deal about Raphael. I'm sure that he had kind brown eyes.
A shy person, perhaps.
But determined. How long ago did Raphael live?
Oh, about 400 years.
That long?
Yes. And still, he was so great an artist that he conveys across four centuries the quality of his character. That is a test of art.
Didn't he paint the Sistine Madonna also?
Yes, in Dresden. I have seen it. And every time I see it, I think of Raphael's experience with the cardinal's niece.
And Marguerite.
Oh, I don't know it. Tell me.
It was like this. Raphael was engaged to marry Maria, the niece of the cardinal. And one day, Maria...
I've been in this place once in a while, Raphael.
No time.
You might look up when I come to see you, Raphael.
Maria, I'm so busy.
So I see. And what, may I ask, is this?
La Fornarina.
The woman. Who is the woman?
No, Maria.
Who is the woman who posed for this picture?
What difference does it make? It is a beautiful picture. Is it not?
Are you being paid for it?
No.
Then why are you painting it?
Because it is beautiful.
You think that that woman is beautiful?
Yes. Don't you?
I think she should be ashamed of herself, being painted in such a shameful attire.
Would it be jealousy, Maria?
I jealous? After all, I'm the cardinal's niece. And who is this woman? Probably a common peasant, a low creature.
She is a baker's daughter, Maria.
I thought so. How do you ever expect to become rich painting baker's daughters?
Who wants to become rich?
If I didn't love you so much, Raphael, I'd call you a fool. Here you are wasting your time, and that painting for the Sistine Chapel isn't even started.
After all, Maria, I'm not a carpenter. You don't nail a painting together. It must come from the heart. I must have a model. A perfect model.
How about me?
No.
I'm not good enough, eh? You...
Oh, Maria, must you sniffle like that?
You wretch! You insufferable wretch! Just for that, I won't marry you.
You won't? Well, then there's nothing I can do.
I thought so. You never wanted to marry me. You're in love with someone else. That baker's daughter.
And what if I am?
Oh, you are. You duped me, the cardinal's niece, for a peasant girl. I'll kill her. I'll kill you. And as for this painting... Now, what do you think of your painting? Show that to your precious baker girl when she comes. Has she gone, Raphael?
Margarita, how long have you been here?
All the time. I was afraid to come out.
I'm sorry, Margarita. I wish you had not heard.
I suppose I might as well leave.
But Margarita, the picture.
It's ruined now. She kicked her foot through it.
I can paint another one. A better one.
Who would buy the portrait of a baker's daughter?
Margarita, darling. I know now I can never let you go. I love you, Margarita.
But how? What of her, Maria?
It means nothing. It's you I want. I've known it for months.
But we're not of the same world.
Not of the same world? Oh, Margarita. Your beauty and tenderness. That is my world.
No, Raphael. I would bring shame upon you.
No, I don't care, Margarita. I can't lose you now.
But you would not lose me. I could still pose for you.
Oh, my darling. If only I could bring you just as you are now. The light on your face. In your eyes. Please, will you be my wife?
No, Raphael.
That is not your heart speaking.
Please do not make it harder for me, Raphael. If ever you put your arms about me, I shall never be able to leave.
I love you, Margaret. I worship you. And I shall make the whole world see you as I see you now.
What do you mean, Raphael?
The Sistine Chapel. Mankind shall look upon you and look up at you for all time to come. I shall paint you as no woman has ever been painted before. They look down on my baker's daughter now, do they? Soon they shall raise their eyes to adore you. The Sistine Chapel shall have the most beautiful Madonna in all this world.
You better to understand the man who painted the Sistine Madonna and this lovely album Madonna we're looking at, which is now the property of the American people.
Of course, I'm not an artist, but I think I know how you feel about these masterpieces. I love beautiful things, whether I understand them or not.
The art is the best critic of beauty. You cannot fool the art, Bertie.
Perhaps that was what Mr. Mellon was thinking when he assembled this collection so that all of us might enjoy them.
Oh, oui. You Americans are indeed lucky to have a man with such taste and generosity.
Quite right. Now, since we've looked at your favorite painting in this Mellon collection, would you like to see my two favorites?
Oh, yes, I would.
Yes, indeed. Two favorites, did you say?
Yes, two. Here's one.
Ah, a Rubens.
And here is the other.
Another Rubens. Oh, look.
What is it?
The pictures are of different women, but they're wearing the same red gown and the same gold chain at the neck.
It would take a woman to notice that.
What's the explanation of that?
One of these women was Rubens' wife. Can you tell which?
This one.
Oh, no, this one. There is... Oh, there's something.
You're right, young lady. This is Isabella Brandt, the first wife of Rubens. He loved her very much. The other is Suzanne Fourmont. She was the sister of Rubens' second wife.
But what about the gown?
Well, I'll tell you about that. Rubens deeply loved the woman you see in that painting, Isabella Brandt. He was a rising young painter in Antwerp. She was his loving wife until the shadow of the Black Plague spread itself over Europe. Finally, the shadow reached Antwerp and the house of Rubens. Doctor, how is she? How is my Isabella? Look at me. What is it? I'm going into...
Ruben, you must not go in there.
I tried to tell you I could do nothing to save her.
My Isabella. Gone.
Perhaps you would like to be alone here, Ruben. I must leave, unfortunately.
Yes. Leave us alone. Isabella and me. Here on my canvas I have you, Isabella. You will always be with me. Your sweetness and goodness forever on my canvas. I need only remember your voice. For all else of you is here. Your fault? You had none. Nothing but goodness and graciousness. Your soul will live in all of my work.
in every stroke of my brush. Your memory will drive me on until my fingers become numb. And I come to join you. You will never leave me, Isabella.
And so from that day on, Rubens nursed a million memories that colored every painting he created. Perhaps we might say that one painting did more to mold his life than any other. He could look at it and feel that Isabella was always beside him. And when many years later he painted his second wife's sister, he asked her to put on the same red gown and the same gold chain that Isabella Brandt had worn.
Now here is the work of a master of temperament, his own and others.
An Old Lady in an Armchair by Rembrandt.
There are 8 Rembrandts in the Mellon collection. And here's one, the Polish nobleman. Notice the high fur hat and the furred coat?
Mm-hmm.
Striking.
Yes, it is easy to see the haughtiness and the proudness in that face. Only Rembrandt could portray character that way. Why do you laugh?
I was thinking of another Rembrandt noble, the noble Slav. Do you know it?
I don't recall.
A companion noble?
Only on canvas, my dear.
Oh.
But perhaps I'd better give you a little background. During his early life, Rembrandt was a wealthy man. But when he was about 33, he moved to a spacious mansion in the heart of the squalid Jewish section of his hometown. He loved the atmosphere of the down-to-earth poor folk and their ways and customs. Before many years, however, he lost his wife and finally became poverty-stricken, unable to pay for models to sit while he painted. One day in his wretched studio, as he stared out of the window, just watching the rain on the cobblestones, a man walking slowly by caught his attention. He turned suddenly and called to the old woman sweeping the floor behind him.
Gertrude, come here.
What do you want?
That man. See that man in the street?
A beggar.
How do you know?
Why would he be standing in the rain? He must be a beggar.
Oh, you down there in the street.
Oh, me?
Yes. Come here to the window.
What do you want?
Look up at me here. I want to look at you.
You don't know me. I haven't done nothing.
Oh, I'm not going to harm you. Are you hungry?
Why should I be standing out here if I could afford to eat?
I have food inside here. Won't you come in?
I never turn down food yet.
Good. Go around to the door. Let him in, Gertrude.
Let that filthy beggar in here.
Close your toothless old mouth and do as I say.
Well, here I am. Where's the food?
You'll have your food, Gertrude. The best in the house for our guests.
All right.
It ain't for me to be saying, of course, but are you crazy by any chance?
Well, some think so. I'm a painter.
Then you are crazy, eh?
Whatever you wish to think.
Did you paint this?
Yes. You like it?
Oh, I guess it's pretty. Who's the woman in the picture?
The woman next door.
You expect to sell this?
No.
Then what did you waste your time painting it for?
Because I like to paint.
You must be crazy.
How would you like for me to paint your picture?
Me? What for?
Oh, you'll get all the food you want. Will you do it? Will you let me paint you?
Well, so long as there ain't no work attached to it.
Good. Sit here. Near the window.
You want me to take off this ragged old coat of mine?
No. Just brush the hair out of your face. Now, sit half facing the light. There. That's fine.
Say, how about my food?
Oh, don't be impatient. It's cooking now. Now, my colors and brushes and we will start.
Ain't you done yet? I'm tired of sitting here.
Almost done. Just a few more touches.
Wasting 2 days to paint a beggar. You're crazy here, Rembrandt.
Be quiet. There. All right. You can stand up as you want to.
Hold on, huh? Can I look at it?
There you are. Well, what do you think of it?
That ain't me. With all them fancy clothes going on me anyway.
The clothes are not important.
Oh, they ain't, huh? Does my face look like that?
It does.
Say, if I had all those fancy clothes, I'd look just like a noble.
Yes. Yes. That's it. That's what I'll call it. The noble Slav.
Me a noble. A noble Slav.
Then that painting of the noble Slav isn't of a nobleman at all.
No. That was one of Rembrandt's favorite tricks. Taking beggars off the street, painting them in fancy clothes, and tacking beautiful titles on them.
Then this picture here of the Polish nobleman may be a rag picker.
Oh, no, no. This is really a Polish nobleman.
I wonder why Rembrandt did that sort of thing, taking beggars off the street like that.
Well, you see, Rembrandt was particularly sensitive to the tragedy of mankind. Because he knew and sympathized with the poor and the unfortunate, he cultivated a point of view towards tragedy and poverty that showed in all of his paintings.
Well, we've seen the three R's of art so far. Raphael, Rubens, and Rembrandt.
Raphael, who converted everything into beauty.
Rubens, the master of color and artistic draftsmanship.
And Rembrandt, who placed the soul of man on canvas.
Come on over here for a moment. Right. Look at this portrait.
Pope Innocent X.
By Velázquez, a Spaniard.
Yes, and one of the most ingenious and fearless painters of his time.
Fearless? Why must a painter be fearless?
A great painter must be truthful. Velázquez was too truthful.
Too truthful?
Look at this painting and you'll see what I mean.
He certainly didn't flatter the man.
Exactly. Notice the coarse mouth, the eyes with their cold glitter, the intense gaze.
Almost ugly. And yet, one gets the feeling that this man must have been exactly like this.
Yes. When Velázquez finished this portrait in 1649, the Pope examined it and exclaimed, "Too true."
Look, here is the work of another Spaniard.
Yes, Goya. He admired Velázquez. He once said that he acknowledged only three masters, Rembrandt, Velázquez, and nature.
Another fearless man.
Now look at this painting of the noblewoman and her little dog. Hmm. Arrogance and pride quiver in every line of her face and figure.
Here is another Goya. These figures show more of the scornful genius of Goya.
I don't think he cared much about pleasing people's egos, if you ask me.
He wasn't that kind of man. He painted when and how he wished, and if the mood were not upon him, he'd dismiss the subject from the studio without a word of explanation. Whether the subject was noble or beggar made no difference to Goya.
You can almost feel a contempt.
Yes, and what a character. He traveled the length and breadth of Europe, leaving a trail of fame behind him. Trouble with his middle name. He felt that an evening was not complete unless he's engaged in a brawl or two.
What a character for a moving picture.
He was a peasant, so was he not?
That's right. He lived and was famous during the years of Spain's decline, when Spain was rotten in body and soul. Goya was part of all that, but he differed in one way from all the other wretched souls who were leaders in Spain at the time. He had an intellect. I can just see the woman in this painting, sitting in his studio, and Goya, the master, peering over the top of his canvas.
Are you almost finished, Senor Goya?
Close your mouth. How do you expect me to paint?
Oh, isn't he charming, Manuel? Did you hear what he said?
He is an insolent pig.
Will you stop craning your neck like that? Elegant. And be quiet!
Oh,
I can't stand noise. By all means, by all means.
May I have some of your wine?
Yes, go right ahead. Marquesa! Will you sit still?
But you were not looking at me. I
thought that I... You fox! When did you start doing that?
Oh, I'm tired. I think I'll go home.
You should do nothing of the sort. Get right where you are.
I'm sorry.
Come on, Goya. We're holding a feast downstairs.
With plenty of wine. And pretty girls. And song.
And song. Come on, drop your brushes. Sing, everybody.
I have a fun business.
Manuel, he is gone.
Are you going to stand for it?
Oh, he will be angry if I leave.
You can sit here if you want to. I'm leaving.
Manuel! Oh.
Oh.
you have been gone for 3 hours, Signor.
Oh, are you still here? Well, what if I was gone for 3 hours?
Oh, nothing.
Yes, it's finished anyhow. Yeah, look at it.
Oh, good.
Good? It's superb.
But do I look like that?
Do I look like that? Of course you look like that. Here, take it. I will expect the money in the morning. Now, don't forget, in the morning.
And that was Goya, the genius of scorn, hater of respectability. He ransacked the soul of Spain of its mysteries and terrors and turned his experiences into works of art.
You can see that Goya didn't care much about what we would call beauty.
But still, his art is beautiful in its sincerity and its strength.
That's a wonderful thing about this collection. We have masters of every branch of painting. Goya, his robust, throbbing, sincere work. Rubens and his uncanny sense of color. Rembrandt with his fine, spiritual sense.
Raphael, who painted beauty better than anyone who ever lived. And we mustn't forget Van Dyck, the founder of oil painting. Here is one of his works. Here. One of the greatest paintings we shall ever have in this country. Perhaps someday we shall have more.
More? But I didn't know there were to be more pictures added to the collection.
Oh, yes. You see, it was Mr. Mellon's hope to create a national gallery of art with his collection as the foundation. One which might attract gifts from other Americans willing to merge their collection in public ownership.
And this gallery that is being built for the collection, is it to be a separate building?
Yes. It's to be completed in about 2 years' time. Its cost will be about $15 million, and there'll be a $5 million endowment provided by Mr. Mellon. It will constitute a bureau of the Smithsonian, but will be administered by its own board of trustees.
Think of it. The most valued possession of Pope, Emperor, and kings and queens, now owned by a democratic people.
Why, almost any one of these paintings would make another collection famous. The finest examples of practically every school of art. By the way, you know that some of these paintings have never been seen even by the most famous art critics?
Which ones are those?
The ones from the Hermitage Collection.
The Hermitage Collection? I don't think I've ever heard of that.
Well, the Hermitage Collection was in the Hermitage Gallery in Leningrad, the Gallery of the Tsars.
Oh.
You see, because of the inaccessibility of Russia, the pictures there are not so familiar to art critics here in America.
Then this is a real preview. Imagine being among the first to see a collection as famous as this.
I have found another one of my favorites.
The Madonna and Child of Titian.
The father of modern painting.
Titian was, but there were many famous ones before him.
Well, of course, but you misinterpret the meaning of my remark. When I say he was the father of modern painting, I don't mean that he created a new style or a new vogue in painting, but that he was the first truly professional painter.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean that in the sense that it's used today. He perfected technical methods of rendering the external appearances of life and employed his methods with no special belief. He'd paint anything or any subject that might bring him cash value.
Oh, an artistic businessman.
Right. In fact, he so cherished money that oftentimes he'd forget promised paintings so long as the money were paid. There's one story that shows both his keen technical skill and the methods by which he was so successful. It was in 1536. Titian had been away from Venice for many months. Venice was his hometown, where he'd been employed by the government to do a series of paintings for them. But the officials of Venice were waiting for him when he came back.
Signor Titian, we have been patient long enough. For 16 years, you have drawn a salary from the Venetian government. And what have you done to earn it? Nothing. Not even one little pencil drawing.
But I have been so busy.
Busy? Ah, nonsense. That's all we've heard for years. You're famous, yes. But what good does your fame do us? We have none of your paintings, and I'm sure we're entitled to something.
Perhaps when I return next year.
Next year? No. Signor, we of the council have talked it over and have decided that you are to refund the entire salary we have paid you for the last 16 years.
But no, you can't. It would ruin me.
My ears are stuffed with your promises now.
Wait. I will make a painting for you, a grand painting for the public library.
No, it's too late.
Oh, it's not. I can complete it in a few days. I have the idea, the inspiration.
Indeed? Well, tell me about it. What is the painting to be?
Why, I cannot tell you now. I must think about it. Go now and tell the council that the painting will be ready in a few days.
Yes? One of the councilors to see you, Signor Titian.
Show him in.
Well, Signor Titian, today is the day. Where is it?
Where is what?
Oh, come. The painting, of course. Where is it?
Oh, you mean the painting.
I do. Oh, I see. Not done, eh? Well, we shall see about...
I'd almost forgotten. It's been done for some time. Here.
Oh, what a magnificent, what a stirring picture. What do you call it?
It is called the Battle of Cadore.
The Battle of Cadore. Oh, yes, yes. It will look well in our library.
Now are you satisfied?
Oh, yes, indeed. Oh, you are a genius, Signor Tito.
Oh, it is nothing, nothing.
You will have it delivered tomorrow, eh? Oh, the council will be very happy, very happy.
Oh, they will they? They wouldn't know painting if they saw it. I throw a mess of paint upon a canvas and they call it superb. Bah! What would they think if I ever really tried?
And that was Titian, master of artistic technique, the first professional painter.
Oh, I wish we could stay here and look at these pictures all day. There must be 1,000 more stories to tell.
Yes. Every painting, every great painting, mixes the warm blood of life and hope, joys and sorrows in the pigments. Raphael, Rembrandt, Rubens, Goya, Titian, Holbein, Van Dyck, Gainsborough, Stuart, any of the other great masters in this Mellon collection in the Smithsonian Institution. Come back and see them and enjoy them when they take their places on the walls of our new National Gallery in Washington. Come and look at them leisurely. For as you look at these masterpieces, you'll come to know the people on the canvases and the painters who put them there. You'll find them real people, delightful people, whom you can count as your friends and acquaintances throughout your life.